A lot of talent there. You know what? I really ought to be taller for this thing. Okay, so we talked, Brother Daniel's talked about school and what you're going to miss and those types of things. I tell you what, I was not the greatest student in school. My worst 3 years in school were the fourth grade. And yeah, so three years in the fourth grade. I guess you guys didn't get that, did you? I need a volunteer. Of course, nobody in the high school volunteers, right? Okay, let's see. Right here. I want you to hand these out to everyone, please. Okay. And let me have somebody else, too. Right here. Okay. If you need more, let me know. Years ago, and some of you may not know who he is, but he's a pretty popular name. Billy Graham, when he was about 90 years old, was asked to speak somewhere. And he had Parkinson's, and he was really skeptical about doing that. But he went ahead and did it. At the end of his time there, he said these words right here on this pencil. Life without God has no point. Life is like a pencil. Life without God has no point. I want you to keep that. That's what your pencil says. And the reason is that it's just a reminder. It's just a reminder for you. Now, you can do whatever you want with it, and I'm sure some of you will. And need more? Okay. And so I just want you, just a little gift from me. This probably be my last chapel this year since there's only a couple left. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss? So they didn't keep one for themselves? There you go. I'll tell you what, like I said, I was my high school. By the way, while I'm talking here, why don't you turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, please. Chapter 18. My high school had 600 graduates in it. The way they graduated us was they had all the highest honor graduates on the first row, all the high honor graduates on the second row or the second rows, and then they lined you up alphabetically by grade point average. Guess who was on the last row? Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm not going to say I was stupid in high school, but I was. So I'm just telling you that I was on the very last row. And I tell you what, after 2 hours of graduation calling names, I mean, when they finally called my name, my friend woke me up and I walked up there and got my diploma. So it was, man, I tell you what, I forgot how hard it was to preach to you guys. So, but let me tell you this, I'm not going to be long this morning. I'm going to be like a fat guy going through a barbed wire fence, just a few points, and I'll be through. Okay, so, yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. Okay, I love little kids. I saw a little kid one time, I think it was here too. He came off the bus, that's what it was. He comes running through, and he's on his way to the bus. He says to me, I just love this place. He said, they taught me God's name, and they even had a song about it. I said, oh, okay, what was the song? He goes, oh, well, he says, I'll sing it for you. I said, well, wait a minute. What's God's name? He said, Andy. I said, Andy? He goes, yeah, they have a song. I said, okay, sing it to me. He goes, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. Thanks for the courtesy laugh. All right, Luke chapter 18, please. I'll start reading in verse 35. Ready. And it came to pass Anybody there? New Testament. I know, that tough on you there, right? And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Sorry about that. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father, your power today. Let these young people be attentive and listen, because Brother Daniels is going to give them a couple of questions and they don't want to seem stupid. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you guys didn't even laugh at that. So, all right, so that's not a problem. So let me tell you where we're at. Let me tell you where we're at. You see, before long, Jesus will be sitting at the table of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Before long, he'll be at the Last Supper. Before long, he'll be in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat, drops of blood. And then before long, these same people that are here with him will be yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And then the mock trial, and then eventually the cross. But not today. Not today as he walks through Jericho. Today, people are looking at him and saying, hey, this is the man that made the lame to walk again. This is the man that made the deaf to hear and the cure of all kinds of diseases. This is the man that raised the dead. And all over the land of Palestine, the Lord was performing miracles, and he comes into Jericho, and people are thronging him because they had needs. They had things that they wanted done. And then this blind man, in verse 36, says, hey, what's the commotion? What's going on here? And then he hears five life-changing words. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. So that's my message to you this morning. That's it. If a friend of yours or a loved one has broken your heart, and by the way, we as adults don't consider that much in young people, but we know it happens to you. And I want to apologize for that. But if that's happening to you today, or if you're sick, you have an illness, or somebody you know has an illness, or if there's a family burden that you have and things aren't going well at home, or maybe even fought this salvation message, that you're not sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, no matter how many times this message being preached in chapels twice a week and week after week and revival after revival, but you still don't have it settled. No matter what you need, as true as it was 2,000 years ago, Jesus is passing by this morning. Jesus is passing by this morning. I want you to see something about this blind man. Notice something about the passage. The blind man yelled out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And those around him were saying, hey, you be quiet. Be quiet. And it's obvious that he was making quite a scene. However, the verse continues and he says he yells even louder. Now, this is my kind of guy. I was youth pastor in Canada. How much you guys realize something? That if you were at a basketball game in Canada and somebody shoots a free throw, you can't say anything. You realize that? I didn't. I was the youth pastor at a Christian school. I was the school counselor at the Christian school. I was brand new to the Christian school, and I went to my first basketball game, and that little Canadian guy was sitting there bouncing the ball, and he went to shoot the basket. I went, miss it! The referee walked over to me, gave me a technical foul, and said that if I said it again, I'd be kicked out. I thought, wow. You know, I really wanted to do it again. I really did. I wanted to be like this guy. I wanted to yell and let people know that what I'm doing is what I'm supposed to be doing at that time. But here he was. Here he was. He's yelling out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that's where we're going to start today. Three very short points. That's how many it takes for a fat guy to get through a barbed wire fence. Three short points, and we'll be done this morning. First of all, the blind man would have not come to Jesus if others had not come. Watch this. He's blind, and he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he hears... What's going on? How come everybody's moving? What's going on? And somebody says, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He says, what? What? Are you kidding? He's coming by? Jesus of Nazareth, the person that can heal me of my blindness? Show me. Where is he at? And then he turns and he yells, Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. The pencil I gave you from Billy Graham, he used to have huge campaigns. Literally hundreds of thousands of people are credited to the fact, are saved today, credited to the fact of some of his campaigns. But you know what he used to do? He used to have all his workers sit at the back of the venue where he was preaching. Sometimes churches, sometimes big rallies. And when they gave the invitation, all those people from the back would move forward. Do you know why? Because it's easier to move with someone. People are watching to see what's going on. People are watching to see if you're going to make that move. You see, he didn't know Jesus was there. He just knew, but once he found out, he knew he had this opportunity to be healed. You may be the reason somebody is still in sin. You may be the reason, or you may be the reason somebody is not going into sin. You see, if you see your friend or you see somebody in your life that's going the wrong way and moving in the wrong direction, and you alert them of it and say, and I don't mean being, you know, mean to them or being holier than thou, but I mean saying, you know what, I really can't go along with that. I really don't think that's a good thing. You could be the one that's keeping them from falling. But if you act like the power of Christ, the Savior, the only begotten Son of God, is just no big deal, then they're going to feel like it's just no big deal. And you don't know. Some of you guys are going to graduate very soon. Very soon. Which brings me to my next point, that Jesus never passed by Jericho again. He never passed by Jericho again. The average person has only about five times in his lifetime where somebody will witness to him. How many of you have just been out, if you're younger, how many of you have just been out somewhere doing something and somebody came up to you that didn't know you and said, hey, I'd like to know if you, or I'd like to invite you to church or give you a track, or how many of you have been out and somebody's done that? Just the two. in my entire life, okay, I'm 68 years old, and in my entire life, that has only happened to me, but besides the fact when I was younger and in church and I came forth through an invitation, outside of that, it's only happened to me once. One time. I was at the gym one day. I know you can't tell. Well, I could take off my jacket, but then, you know. So, but only now you laugh. I was like, that wasn't supposed to be funny. Okay, and you're laughing the most. That's a hard part. But I was coming out of the gym, and this guy walks up to me, and he says, "Hey, by the way, I'd like to invite you to church." And he said, "I want to ask you a question. You know, if you died today, you'd go to heaven." That's the only time. And that was probably 20 years ago. 20 years ago. You know, only one out of every 200,000 people over the age of 30 in the world will get saved. I remember, I don't know how many times I've been out soul winning or been preaching in a churches or a chapel like this, and people have just not listened, walked away, and Jesus had passed by for the last time in their life. I remember I led two elderly ladies to the Lord. Less than 6 months later, they both passed away. That's how close it could be. When I was a youth pastor, there's a young man, Jeremy Essery, 14 years old. Great kid. He got saved and then got leukemia. He died before he was 15. Last chance. Last chance. You're going to have to make a decision. And I'm going to say this because I've heard our pastor say this, especially to you high schoolers. But one day, you're going to have to make a decision on your own. Your own decision. This blind man made a decision on his own. He was running around like a fanatic, trying to get to Jesus. He didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care what anybody felt. He didn't care how he looked. He didn't care if he looked like a maniac or a goody two-shoes. He didn't care. He made the decision on his own, and you're going to have to do it too. Your mom and dad may be making you come to church, maybe making you stay in the Christian school, but one day, you're going to have to make that decision yourself. By the way, I hear a lot of people talk about goody two-shoes. Anybody know where that came from? $10 to anybody who can tell me where that phrase came from. Anybody? It's a book written in the 1700s about a girl who only had one shoe. And she met this guy who bought her first pair of shoes, and she was so grateful that she went around and did good things for other people. Yeah, that's me. I'm that person. I appreciate what God's done for me. I appreciate what the things that the Lord has helped me to do. Am I a goody two-shoes? I hope so. I hope so. I want to be one. I really do. And some of you guys, some of you girls, you know, you said, "I'm not doing that because it just doesn't look cool." It just doesn't look cool. Oh, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to get as close to the edge as possible. Has anybody ever heard somebody pray, "Oh Lord, put a hedge around that young man or that young woman"? You ever pray, see that? Yeah, you've been in church long enough. Do you know what that hedge is? That hedge is not a great big hedge that where you run into it, you bump into it. No, that hedge is just a speed bump. That when you hit it, you realize it's there. It doesn't stop you. That hedge doesn't stop you. That hedge just reminds you that you're going in the wrong direction. and I kind of just hit on this my last point this morning. The blind man would let nothing stop him from getting to Jesus. He didn't care, like I said, about those around him. He was like a fanatic. He didn't have time to clean up his life. He didn't have time to make up with those people that he had hurt. All he had time to do was reach out to the very Son of God for healing and salvation. He said, and God said, what do you want me to do for you? He goes, that I receive my sight. He said, your faith has made you whole. Go ahead. You know what? A lot of you are just one ask away from getting what you want from the Lord. Of course, everybody knows from history about 9/11, right? Thousands of people, World Trade Center. How many of those people knew the week before that God, that Jesus of Nazareth, would pass by them for the last time? The Oklahoma City bombing, Columbine High School. Jeremy Esri. Somebody in a car accident. It could be that Jesus will pass by you for the last time today. You say, oh, come on. Just like those people in Jericho, a lot of them were saying, you know what, he's coming by a lot. I'll just wait till the next time he comes by. And that's how sometimes Christian school kids are, is the fact that, oh, come on, you got to be kidding, right? Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, twice a week in chapel, revivals and Christmas parties. And every time we get together, somebody gives the gospel. Are you kidding? Jesus will always come by. But that's not true, is it? Because sometime, somewhere, he'll come by for the last time. If you have a need this morning, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's coming by, just like he has 100 times before, maybe 500, maybe 1,000 times for some of you with camps and things like that. He's coming by. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. I want you to listen to this. Every time I snap my finger, somebody goes into eternity. Somebody dies somewhere. This could be it. I'm not trying to scare you, but like the pastor said, if he could scare you, he would. And I will too. By the way, I don't have this in my notes, but I'm going to say this because the Holy Spirit just told me to. The last thing in this verse, it says right here, it says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. And when he saw it, he gave praise unto God. When he saw it, he gave praise unto God. Let me tell you something, and he should have, because God did something for him. And like I said, I don't have this in my outline, but let me tell you what. Our pastor is the under-shepherd. You, right here, this group of people, ought to be his biggest cheerleader. That's right, you. He should never be embarrassed by your actions. You should always, and somebody says, oh, don't ever use always or never. No, I'm using always. You should always stand by him. Yeah, it's a privilege. I've been to a lot of Christian schools. I've been to a lot of churches. And let me tell you something. This man of God we have here at Heritage treats you all better than anywhere I've ever seen. your biggest fan. That's right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for these young people. I do love them. I pray for them all every single day by name. And I just thank you for I just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, right here.